Thanks for tuning in to the Vertical Plus podcast. We always open the show with a discussion about this past Sunday's message. If you didn't catch it, you can go back an episode and listen to the audio version. Thanks for listening.
Dax Shepard impression?
Please.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Vertical Plus podcast. I'm your host, Pax Meppard, and these are my hosts, Robert Saustinish and Derek of the Benjamin variety.
That's pretty good.
That was pretty good.
About six people will get that.
Nobody's going to get that. Yeah. They're all sitting here.
Also, I don't know if we can like publicly recommend that podcast.
Yeah, boy.
I love that
podcast. Oh, I love it. Yeah. But, you know, some people may not have the filter we have.
Man, if you want to blush listening to a podcast, that'd be the one.
Well, we're all here. We're also sanctified. We can get through it.
That's right. Whatever that word means.
Yuck. I didn't like that.
Yeah. Or do you have a mug that says sanctified? Because maybe you should put that on film.
I think that's what solo caffeine means.
I can work that in come Sunday.
I can work that in.
So based on your mug, are you Presbyterian?
No.
No. No.
Shoot.
What denomination is Vertical? I took the job here. And I don't have a clue.
Next question, please.
Yeah. Next question, please. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
I get asked that more than any other question.
Yeah.
My response nowadays is, what does it matter? Are you going to stop coming if we say we're Methodist?
I just say, what do you think? Just because I want to gauge what people are getting.
That is the most dad answer. I don't know. What do you think? Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I totally dodge that question. I mean, if someone asks and I can tell they're really genuine, like, I want to make sure I'm not coming to some hocus pocus church, I'm like, okay, here's the deal.
Then buried deep within our bylaws, this is what we are.
I wonder if you confuse people because you have a beard and like a pipe, and so they just assume you're really reformed, and then they hear you talk, and they're like, who is this guy?
Yeah, we probably have a lot of one service people. Like, this isn't what I thought it was going to be at all.
I guarantee we have a lot of one service people.
Yeah, so.
I love it. It's my favorite stat.
This intro is feeling very COVID. Can we pick up the energy a little bit?
Hey!
Welcome to church.
I'm over it. All right.
Here's the big challenge, right?
Oh, yes. Go for it.
Are you about to do that? I like your transitions better. You go.
It was just going to be really straightforward. I was literally going to say, so we just had Easter.
that's a fact. We just have Easter.
It's a detail.
Yeah. This is an interesting thing with one of these podcasts. Like, how do you recap the most recapped story in the history of man?
Oh, that's a good way to spend Easter. We're going to recap the most recapped story in the history of man.
Well, here's the truth. As ministers, you come up on these holidays. I don't know if any minister has been on a podcast willing to say this, but you roll up on Easter and Christmas and you're like, crap, how are we going to say this differently? You know, and
every year,
everybody's expecting a particular thing and you want to be able to like help them celebrate that particular thing. Where, I mean, it's not our job to rewrite Easter, but at the same time, you don't want them walking out going, that's exactly what I expected. I didn't really learn anything new. And so it's quite the conundrum for teaching pastors.
Yeah.
But I think we did a good job this year.
I enjoyed teaching it, at least. I thought it was fun to kind of put together, and we got to talk about Easter, got to talk about hope, but we got to pull out some details, like Chase would say. Details.
Wait a minute, like Chase was saying.
I was pointing out that it was kind of an obscure part of the story that you might not notice otherwise, right, but now we did.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Okay, let's back up.
Start from the beginning.
The first thing Austin did is he said, okay, let's talk about Easter, but let's back way up in the Easter story, and let's talk about this prayer that Jesus is involved with giving that most people would not even associate with Easter.
Yeah.
Which I thought, man, I like that play. But the reason I like that play is because, and everybody understood this, has been giving me feedback over the past few days, it just highlighted the humanity of Jesus, which you got across very clearly. But thinking about Jesus praying for someone, I don't know, it just takes Jesus out of that like commander-in-chief slot.
Right.
It takes him out of the Sermon on the Mount teacher slot. It's like, whoa, this guy felt compelled to pray for other people that's interesting. I don't really look at Jesus that way.
Yeah, there are a few points in Jesus's life, and I've kind of become fascinated with this over the past few months, in that we're always trying to kind of walk this balance beam when observing Jesus between his humanity and the fact that he is deity, you know, that he is God. And there are points in Jesus's life where we see, like, wow, that's a really close glimpse of Jesus, like, feeling emotion. Like when we see that Lazarus died, like, he knew he was going to bring him back to life, right? But we still see that it's an emotional process for Jesus because his friend had passed away. And so when we see Jesus here, even before he goes to the garden, he's praying for his 12 best friends, and then he's praying for us in a very sentimental way, like in the same way. I don't know. It's just, it's so different than I often picture Jesus, you know?
Yeah, well, we've all been handed, we say this a lot around here, but we've all been handed a construct or a picture of Jesus based on the Jesus people that we grew up around or grew up seeing on television, those sorts of things. But it really breaks my heart that Jesus isn't investigated more the way that we do, of trying to think through, let's take this example of his best friend, one of his best friends dying, and he's away and he delays to get there. And obviously Jesus didn't make any mistakes. He was intentional, sure, as we were saying this weekend. But to be in that moment where he sees the ramifications of that person's death on other people, not that Jesus was surprised. There are plenty of circumstances in my life where I'm not surprised about what's happening. But when I'm in the middle of them, emotion takes over. And I feel like that's exactly where Jesus was. So when you start seeing Jesus this way, then Easter does become totally different. I mean, maybe that's the answer through the years of telling the story, of just emphasizing, highlighting the humanity of Jesus, that Jesus was saying in that prayer, hey, I feel close to God. You know, it's a, even that's a weird statement. The theology people listening may be like, of course he does. But I feel close to God, and I want the people who come after me to feel close to you also. And he knew that's going to be way more of a challenge for these people that come later, even than it has been for me. That prayer of unity was a really big thing, and also very timely.
Yeah, I love that. And then, you know, you carry that intention forward, because that is still kind of a grand scale view of things. You know, he's thinking about people in a very godly manner that are thousands of years away, right?
Right.
But then you bring up this detail, right, where he's looking at Mary and he's looking at his friend John, and he's kind of giving that, you know, giving the responsibility of his mother over. And when you brought that up, in a similar way to what you just said, I was like, wow, I've never seen the humanity of Jesus in that moment the way that it is. I don't know if I thought it was, you know, a technicality, a tradition, like, I don't know what I thought it was, but the fact that he was dealing with all of this super spiritual, like, sins of the world, all this stuff, that's where everybody's focusing right now, but he is still focus on Mary's well-being for the years to come, even in her short life, while he's thinking about people's lives thousands of years away. The man part of Jesus is focused on his mom in that moment. Like, that's such a heavy point to me, you know? That's so heavy to me. It shows, I don't know, just Jesus's intentionality in a way I hadn't thought about before.
Yeah, which, for reference, my mom, literally while the teaching is going on, sends me a text. Nice job. Of course you would say that, talking about the mom on Easter. But yeah, that's I think this is really applicable, and we didn't go into this because honestly we're trying to be very careful to not be people making commentary on a worldwide pandemic like we know, because we've been through one before. But I do want to take this opportunity to say, I think a good approach here is to let Jesus be Jesus and you be you. Jesus has the ability to focus on things on a cosmic scale and also care for his mom, right? We need to be recipients of that power and ability of Jesus, not attempting to be Jesus. And this is a temptation for ministers. And fortunately or unfortunately, we're able to tune in. I think I went to 6 churches on Sunday at one point throughout the day. And I'm just like, man, these guys who are trying to say either A, this is the end of the world, like, oh my gosh, how narrow-minded, you know, and this is just for you, Chase.
How dare you?
Yeah. Well, I'll do you one better. Think about being alive in the 40s and thousands of people being murdered and buried in a forest somewhere. And we're like, oh my gosh, we can't go to Kroger. It's the end of the world. You know, yeah. I'm like, okay, people wake up a little bit. But you want to say, point. Yeah, it's the end of the world. Or you want to say, well, this is God's judgment on the world. Oh. I mean, that's so American. I mean, we have one of the largest refugee crises in the world that's ever happened in the history of man going on right now.
Yep.
And because we're inconvenienced, now it's the end of the world.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, it's not even the first or the third pandemic since, you know, 2000, but it's affecting Americans now. And so now we're really concerned about
it. Yeah. Now it's like, oh, wait, this is Pearl Harbor. Okay, now it's getting serious. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think as ministers, as believing people, and I know we have probably a lot of people that don't believe they're listening, which is awesome. But as believing people, I think it's our responsibility to let God do God's work and we do our work. And our work is, what is it that we need to receive from Jesus? What is it that he's trying to put into our life, into our story, so that we are cared for? I think that's a much better tilt to weather this pandemic from.
Yeah, and at the same time, you know, we see Jesus and we see that he is God. He's also man. He's the best example of what a man should be, though, you know, because he did live a perfect life. And so we see that when, even when tragic things are going on around Jesus often, he doesn't seem to be overly concerned about it. You know, he's always very calculated in the way that he interacts with people. He's always bringing peace to the situation. He's never, you know, exacerbating it. And I love that about that story too, is that he's bringing hope in that situation, even though it was terrible, you know, what was happening there.
Yeah, brutal death, just a brutal death. Quoting the Bible, which that's even beautiful to me. Like, I know that Jesus, in literally the most difficult minutes of his physical life, I know the scripture that he chose to quote, you know, which really, this just grinds my gears. Can we make that a section of the podcast?
You know what grinds my gears?
not without legal issues, I think.
Okay.
But,
yeah. Well, I'll just make it singular. This just grinds my gear, you know?
Yes.
Yes. when especially Christian people, and I've been through these, this will date me, but I've been through Sunday school classes where a person was like, look, this is what Jesus was quoting, and it means that God turned his back on his son and he abandoned them. Oof. And I'm like, oh my gosh, could you be any more particular denomination? But to think that this was the well in his darkest moment that Jesus went to for strength and for comfort, you know, I think that would be good for people to be able to do as well. So it's just incredible to me that Jesus is doing all these things intentionally as an example while he's literally tipping the scales of justice forever. Like, yeah. Man, what a guy.
What a guy. That Jesus.
What a guy.
That Jesus.
What a guy. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess it's more about reflecting on why we chose to say what we said, because this week, unlike other weeks, there's not a lot of places to move around and, like, I wonder what Jesus was up to. No, he was being very intentional, and there's no doubt what he was up to. So, I don't know. What's your take on it, Chase?
And obviously, I agree with everything y'all said. One of the things that I pulled from is how empowering Jesus's prayer was to us as his followers. You know, like, he talks about God giving them the same glory, or giving us the same glory that he's given his son, you know, and he's like the same glory in as the God that's about to go on the cross and die for humanity. He wants to feel as empowered as he does. Now, obviously, we are not on the same level as Jesus, but it gives us, and thankfully so, but it gives us something to strive for. It gives us a sense of confidence. I think it does me anyway. You know, it really validates the purposes, or to use your wording, Ben, the well that I pull from. You know, like, it shows just how much Jesus has our back and what it is that we're doing here, you know? And so where it becomes timely for me, and this is just specific to me, but, you know, in the midst of all that's going on here, seeing past all the fear and stuff like that, and, like, remembering the opportunities that I have during this time, you know? Like you were saying, on the cosmic scale, God's got that. And thankfully, because I can't worry about that, because that'll... It's just crazy. But on boots on the ground level, you know, even as far as just interacting with my community that God's blessed me with intentionally during this time when it's really hard to do so. I know that it's justified and that I'm serving a purpose there, you know?
Yeah. Man, that's great. Yeah, Where were you when we were planning Easter?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, get in the room. Yeah, I think
it just hit me when I reread the prayer.
Yeah.
Because I was listening to you guys 2 days ago on Easter, but we record this on Tuesday. I broke the fourth wall. What an idiot.
I think you hit the nail on the head in that I wish that we could have gotten a little more into that in that part of the prayer is that he prays for the apostles, his 12 friends or whatever, and he's kind of praying out in front of them like, they don't really know what's going to happen, but it's going to kind of suck. Yeah.
But they'll remember this when it's all said and done.
And then he does the same thing for us, right? He's praying for the generations of believers to come later. And he's kind of implying like, this isn't going to be very fun for any of you, but there is an end game here and I've got you. Like, it's going to be okay. And
it's well worth your time.
Yeah. And it's so timely for where we are right now, right? Because nobody saw this coming. Except for God, I guess. But at the end of the day, we know, you know, there is going to be something greater that comes out of this. And at the end of the day, we will be glorified with him, like you just said.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people tend to gloss over the empowerment that Jesus gives us. Like, we focus on the lordship of Jesus for good reason. Because, like, that ultimately, that's our driving force. Like, this dude's leading our life. He's setting the example, and that's awesome. But through that, he empowers us to do things that we honestly don't feel like we're capable of. And this just serves as a good reminder to strive for better, honestly.
He literally says that
right
at one point in the Bible. You're going to do greater things than even I was able to.
Right.
Nobody talks about that in church.
No.
But
no, a lot of people misconstrue it, I think. But
yeah.
I don't want to dive into that.
Like John Lennon or something.
Imagine.
That does bring up an interesting question. These are the things that I think about, like when I'm mowing the grass, which shows just how twisted my brain operates.
You're a nerd.
But like, what are those things in my life that I've done where Jesus is like, touche, that was better than something I did. And I'm like, I don't know. It's just a weird thought because if Jesus says it, then obviously it's true. And somebody on earth accomplishes at least a human feat greater than Jesus.
Yeah, and I wonder if people don't understand it or if it's out of fear. But like when he told the apostles, like, hey, I'm going to give you a helper, which now we know is the Holy Spirit, that's going to allow you to do things like you've seen me do.
Yeah.
I don't see that happen in my everyday life. And so I wonder if it's my own fear, like my just being afraid to try and do that, those kind of great things, or if it's just me not understanding.
Well,
that.
I think it's dual. I think it serves maybe more than two purposes, but the two purposes that I see it are is one, the helper thing, like miracles that get pulled off when Jesus is gone with the disciples and stuff like that. Like you read about it, like what Thomas was doing in India and stuff like that. Nuts stuff.
Yeah.
We could spend a whole episode on stuff like that. But I think he's also talking about how we get to operate as Christians post-resurrection.
Just on a daily basis.
Yeah. Like, you're getting to tell people a story that Jesus wasn't able to tell because it hadn't happened yet.
Ah, good point. Yeah. Mm. We have the privilege of living on this side of Easter.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is the most empowering story you can have. And I think that's part of what Jesus was talking about. I may be wrong, but that's
how I think
I read
you're right.
It.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. It circles back to the unity and the prayer and that I have a bond. Like, I could literally Zoom with someone in India or in Russia today, and we would have a bond of understanding the work of Jesus. And Jesus, I believe Jesus was very lonely in that way of I'm doing something that nobody understands. Even my good friends, when I start to talk about it too much, get really confused, and I have to like talk to them after I talk to everybody else. And he was alone in that. And I instantly can have unity with someone because they know the story.
Right.
And we can combine our efforts in a pretty crazy way. And we see the friends of Jesus do that almost instantly after that experience in the upper room. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It kind of brings that a little bit more down to the ground, like you're talking about boots on the ground. I love that idea. And it's challenging me right now to think through the quarantine and the pandemic, like how am I accessing that unity or that bond with the people around me or people that I know that could allow us to do some incredible things, like our good friend Stephen Perry, who's in Colorado, who's literally starting a church.
he started a church in a pandemic.
I'm telling you, it's church crazy. Planters, man, they do not meet an obstacle that they don't feel like they can overcome.
Yeah, is that true?
You know, that sort of bond of being able to strengthen each other and then offer that strength to people who don't quite understand it yet, but know that they need it. I mean, what an incredible opportunity we have right now. So Jesus did not live through a pandemic, but he's helping us weather one, right?
Yep. Hey, Austin, let's transition the exact same way we always do.
Okay.
Ask us anything.
Oh, okay, cool.
You didn't know that was coming, I know.
Yeah, I was totally taken by surprise.
All the surprises on
taken
this podcast.
Taken aback.
Yeah. Yes, I was gasping for air, just trying to get over this question that you hit me with.
Riveted.
Yeah. So, we have a few questions this week. We're going to do four. There was a big question that we have, but we have to do some Netflix research.
Someone asked an opinion about a whole Netflix documentary series. And
yeah, so we'll be
none
watching,
of us have watched it.
Yeah, we'll be watching it, though, right?
I'm going to try.
Yeah, I think
I'm
going to
try
say,
my darndest.
We could say, Lee, we got your question.
Yes.
And we're the kind of people that take those questions very seriously.
Yeah. We fully intend on sitting on the couch and watching every episode to give you a good answer.
Yeah,
together.
I think I'm going to need like a large glass of alcohol and a Xanax to be able to watch this thing. But
yeah, I'm afraid it's going to give me a lot of anxiety.
I've
but that's
avoided
okay.
it for that very reason. But because I'm committed to this podcast.
We've sat through Trump's press conferences. It's basically the same. So anyway, let's get to these questions. I should go fairly quickly. The first question we had is kind of like one we got last week about teaching, but we wanted to go ahead and answer it. Basically, the idea of the question is this. There are a lot of churches that kind of take Jesus' words and manipulate them to put their own opinions in. Luckily, this person says, we don't do that, which I appreciate.
Winning.
Thank you.
Right. But he asks, what does the process look like in making sure that we aren't putting our own opinions into the talks each week and we're basically letting Jesus' words speak for themselves?
I'll take it. Because I think we said it last week. But we can be more specific with it this week. I think the way we protect that is having more than one person actively writing for the stage on Sunday mornings or the screen on Sunday mornings. You know, I think, so can we say the three people that are on teaching?
Yeah.
So we had the two of you and then a friend of ours named Drew Cleek, who is very smart, we're gathering.
He's smarter than either of us.
Very smart guy.
Had I known this before, maybe I wouldn't have asked him to be on the team. Because,
yeah, I asked him when I thought he was an idiot, but thankfully he turned out to be smart when we got him on the teaching team. But we have three, I would say, very different people being a part of the teaching team. And I think you guys come from three different backgrounds. Drew's especially very different. Without speaking into
he's
it too
much.
He's
smart and he could beat us up.
That's right.
More than beat us up.
Yeah.
But you guys are also different, so I think it protects the opinions that could weasel their way into what you guys are teaching on a Sunday morning. I think that's like first and foremost the foundation of protecting against that.
And I think Ben said it well last week. All of the people that you're talking about that tend to put their own words into that, if you are operating in isolation, it is very hard to not do that. Because you're only listening to your own voice over and over and over again.
Yeah, which is the definition of making an idol of yourself.
Exactly.
Which is a sin.
Well, yeah, I just don't have time to go into all that. But I will have to say, just a point of clarification, you're definitely correct, Chase. But we all have an almost identical view of the Bible.
Yes.
And that's what makes it work. Our view of the Bible is you have to be okay with letting it say what it says. You also have to be okay with using your imagination, but not allowing your imagination to contradict what's within the text. So that's kind of the complete backstory there.
Yeah, good stuff.
Thank you.
We got a couple of other questions.
No, with three.
We have three other questions.
There you go.
Three is more than a couple.
Several other questions.
A few.
Next question. What are your hobbies outside of ministry? Is ministry a hobby?
You're never outside of ministry.
Yeah. Come on, whoever asked this question,
we're
always
on mission
for Jesus.
Continually.
I think you've probably gathered that we like watching things a lot. Like, we talk about Netflix all the time.
I feel like we all take in a lot of content.
Oh, man.
But vastly different sometimes.
Really? Because we have similar conversations.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, this podcast is very indicative of a conversation we would have at lunch.
Yeah, that's true.
True.
I mean, Chase and I were texting about, I don't even know the program, but I know the word tracks. And if there's a lot of tracks, the person's very intelligent and gifted. What program is he in, Jacob?
Oh my gosh. You no, there's no way anyone has any idea what you might be talking about.
Yeah, well, I know, but it's what we're talking about.
Yeah, so a guy we like, his name is Jacob Collier. He's a musician.
He totally creeps Cammy out, by the way.
Okay, I get that. He does have a weird vibe.
What Ben's talking about is there's a program for recording audio called Logic, and Logic. This dude creates songs with like hundreds of tracks of audio, which is, if you don't know, a lot.
Did either of you watch Free Solo?
Yes.
Okay, he gives me that kind of vibe where it's like...
Alex Honnold creeps Cammy out too.
He's a weird dude, but you're like, nobody in the world is as good at this as you because you are so weirdly dedicated to this one thing.
Yeah, that's what an interesting parallel.
Yeah.
Jacob and Alex.
But similar though.
Yes, very similar. You know what did it for Cammy is when he started eating his dinner in a van off a spatula. She was like, I'm out. This guy's crazy.
I could have watched them talk to his girlfriend way more because she's just like, he's crazy, but I love him. And I'm like, he's going to die.
He is going to die.
Don't get married because you will be a widow.
Yes.
Okay, wait, hobbies. Okay, so, yeah, we got way off on that. Hobbies. I'm trying to think of hobbies for the two of you. Clearly, Ben, you are an avid reader. You're a woodworker. Chase, you could kick all of our butts at Rocket League. I don't even understand how Rocket League works.
I could probably beat you in Call of Duty, too, just out of the gate.
But you refuse to because you won't buy the dang game.
Yeah, I won't. Just like I won't watch Tiger King.
Oh, man.
For you.
The Tiger Show.
I hate this. Is Chase's hobby? He is completely obtuse. I tell him.
What is your hobby? Big words.
What a dirty word.
We live in community. Let's do this together. He's like, you know what? You like that, so I've decided I'm not going to
no,
do it.
No, you like it too much. And it's your zeal that repels us. I'm getting more fun out of not watching it than I definitely would watching it.
Yeah, you just summed up your hobby to me.
Yeah,
being obtuse.
You know what? Chase is kind of one of those. He is a, let's use another word. He's an enigma. If you try to like nail down a hobby for Chase, you aren't like, oh, Chase, that guy's, he's really into frisbee golf. You know, I mean, you just can't.
I was at one point.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like if you try to nail down one of Chase's hobbies, he's like, all right, putting that on the shelf, picking up something new.
But that is almost required of you to some extent to work at Vertical. I learned that when I came in very early that everybody here is exceptionally well-rounded, it seems like to me. Like, I don't know that I could nail down one person's hobby. You know what I mean?
Yes, and case in point, I started doing CrossFit, and man, the CrossFit jokes were just flying around like crazy. And I was like, okay, no, I'm not going to be like the CrossFit pastor. Which we're coming up on the office. I'm not going to be the guy that starts the fire in the office, and that's the only thing I'm known for. It totally repels me as a personality when you look at a guy and you're like, oh, that guy's really into just this one thing.
Oh, that guy is that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's CrossFit guy, or that's
man, I
whatever
hate that
guy.
Yeah. And now and that you're bringing it up, we kind of all hate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all hate that. So, but if you had to throw something out, like your hobby, you know, other than being an amazing dad, at this point.
Are you talking about me?
Yeah.
Oh.
11 weeks in, baby.
Yeah, hey, right. Almost 12. It's going fast.
What would you say,
slow.
And I'm not going to try to like, you know, nail you down for the rest of your life. What would you say is your current hobby?
No, my current hobby.
Digital content.
Yeah, let's say work.
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 Vertical church. I like learning about things. That's not true. I was about to say I like learning about things that I'm not good at, but that's actually against every fiber of my being because I don't want to try it if I know I'll suck at it. But this my hobby is that the second something interests me and I think I could be decent at it, I immediately start taking in all the information I can about it and start applying it.
We're all three the same that way, I think.
Well, yeah, I think that's what unites us. Like, I'm trying, for all my faults, I'm trying my best to, like, in this time of work, like, learn how to produce audio at least marginally well outside of podcasting, like music-based audio, because I think it's incredibly challenging and it interests me to be at least decent at it. So that's my hobby now, even though it is work. Like, I was trying stuff like this before COVID-19 hit. So it just kind of, my hobby got forced into work quickly.
Yeah, I think how I would determine is my hobby is being mentally distracted. That's what I'm because I think about certain things so much, I've got to find other things. So peeling back the curtain, there's a chance I'm going to get into the truck world at some point this year.
Like you driving a truck?
Like me driving a truck.
All right. There's a friend of ours named Micah Thomas. We'll say it for him. Don't buy a Nissan. We don't care if you buy one, but he'll tell you, don't buy a Nissan. They haven't innovated since 94.
Yes.
Literally word for word what he says every single time. I hate that we're acknowledging this on the podcast.
I think it's funny.
So, yes, I'm not buying a Nissan. But my wife has walked past the computer a couple of times over the past few days, and she says, are you watching another truck video?
Oh, man. I never thought you would get to this point.
I know.
You seem so not truck guy.
I am not truck guy, but I finally had to acknowledge, and this is difficult for me, that my life has gone in a way that means I need a truck.
I'm in the same boat. You know, I'm just waiting for the opportunity to
own
one.
A truck. So after I'm not you
load, so with my hobby being woodworking, after you load lumber in a Civic in front of a bunch of lumber guys, and they're like snickering at you.
You know what though? I think that is probably really good for you. It's probably dialing down your hubris in a way that's very healthy.
And it was spiraling out of control. I'll be the one to say it.
Due to CrossFit, actually.
Yeah, due to CrossFit.
All right, we have two more questions.
Yeah.
So
maybe we answered the hobby question. Yeah, our hobby is to have multiple hobbies, just in case you try to pin us down to one
and
hobby.
To obsess over them.
Yeah.
Obsess.
And try to get each other to partake in them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next question. How are you continuing to be productive in this time by not adding new hobbies?
See previous question.
Yeah.
Are there any, I guess maybe we can expound on that. Are there any systems that you guys have found yourself implementing to make sure that you actually put on real people pants every day and do work?
No. I refuse to step into that because it doesn't change my mindset at all.
You never wear real people pants.
I'm wearing them right now.
But see jogger conversations
2 weeks ago. If I'm allowed to work at home and like literally control the entire Sunday experience and how it seems, then I get to wear whatever pants or not pants I want to wear. That is my prerogative or privilege.
We're different in that way because if I do not have systems, you guys have made fun of me before for saying that I have zero discipline. You're like, what, really? I have zero discipline in that if I don't have systems to make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, it won't happen. It won't. I may not get up.
You're just gonna hard charge or whatever's in front of you.
Yeah, I can't do it. So I have to keep a calendar. I have to keep my to-dos list pulled up on my calendar. All of those things to where I'm actually making sure that I'm being productive, so I don't hit Friday or Saturday and realize I haven't done anything. You know.
Yeah. One thing I'm using, and this is going to sound very work-related, I don't mean it that way, but I'm using Basecamp, which is a productivity software that we have. I'm using that heavily right now.
It's the Nissan of productivity software because it has not innovated, but it is useful.
Ouch.
Nobody knows this, but the staff is very split on these productivity, like, softwares that we're using. Some of them hate Basecamp and some of them love it.
It literally only has one problem, and the one problem it does not automatically update. Yeah. You have to hit refresh.
So Basecamp, if you're listening, get it together.
Yeah.
Come on.
Google.
Somebody call Google and say, hey, how do you do that?
Hey, how about Google go ahead and buy Basecamp? Just get it out of the way.
Oh man.
If Basecamp would automatically sync up with all of my Google stuff.
It's over.
It'd be game over.
They're going to rule the world. So I use that. The other thing I use, and I'm the opposite of most people who say this, but when I get out of my bed clothes, that's a whole nother joke.
I hate that.
My wife said we got to stop doing inside jokes.
Yeah.
Because it's just the three of us laughing.
One time Ben called pajamas bed clothes and we never let it go.
Never let it go.
Yeah.
So now I'll just bring it back up again. But the first thing I do is put on workout clothes because it will ensure that I actually work out. Because that's my limit. Like I'm not going to wear workout clothes all day long and then not work out. So I have a couple of we've talked about them on in other places, but I have these micro habits that I do that I can commit to that small thing.
Yeah.
And I know that the other things that come next, you know, so for me, putting on those clothes is one thing. Actually sitting down at my desk outside of my home office is going to ensure
that
I start.
Your desk is outside?
Yeah, it's outside in my garage.
He said he's a woodworker. He's an outdoorsman.
Yeah.
The world is my desk.
The world is That's going on my social media profiles. Yeah, the world is my desk. So yeah, just it all comes down to micro habits, and to be very, very frank, those change all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like, what is the micro habit I can try today that's going to help me be more disciplined? Because I'm fighting it too.
For a whirlwind too, because now that he's lead pastor, he finds these micro habits and says, everybody should be doing this with me.
You're not reading Brene Brown?
Oh, okay, we all are.
Guess what? That's part of staff.
Find that that's a hobby? I've found out that that's a hobby of mine, is figuring out, systems that other people are using that be even a little beneficial, and then I try and do them all in 1 week.
Yes, you know? I literally have
that sounds healthy
podcast playlists that are productivity based, which is pretty sick. But yeah. I do, because I'm naturally not that way. I'm such a second gear kind of guy. Like, whatever's in front of me, whatever we can talk about. I don't know, what are you doing right now? So my job does not allow me to do that very much. So what Chase is pointing out, in such a graceful way, is I'm an overcorrector, and I think people have figured that out.
Like, I didn't mean it insultingly.
Yeah, like, okay, well, Ben's all about this particular thing, but give it 24 hours. If he's still about it in 7 days, I'll start taking it seriously.
When Ben discovered Slack is what we use for like our staff messaging, when Ben discovered that he could edit like the plugins and stuff for the entire staff. Wow.
It was on.
There was a whole 24 hours of just notifications. Hold on, everybody. I'll mute him real quick. 18 more.
So bad. We all woke up the next morning, because Ben inevitably does this at night.
He does.
Always.
Somehow. There's always teaching team
stuff.
It's
your responsibility to have your notifications snooze.
I woke
mine.
Up that morning and was like, what is going on?
All right. Next question.
Next question. Last question. And probably the one that will take the most time.
Yes. Yeah.
We're going to rely heavily on Chase for this one.
Chase
right?
is ultra prepared.
No,
I'm not. If you were all characters from The Office, which would you be?
So we have to take into account that it's got to be personality based and not position based.
Correct.
That seems fair.
So therefore,
are we talking about the three of us or like the staff?
I think we have to do the three of us, because offend.
Yeah.
Anyone in any possible way.
The only safe thing is for us to talk about the three of us.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm loving the power that we have in giving people positions. Go ahead. The three of us.
I feel like you should expand it to The Office and Parks and Rec, because the personalities on both of those shows are so specific. They're so specific. Like, if I wanted to say Austin is a little bit of a gem, there's so many things about Jim that Austin's not, but he's like 70% Jim, so he's the closest of the three of us. But that doesn't feel fair to the question.
Well, no, I think it is fair to the question. I mean, the question is putting you in a box and making you choose.
Yeah, right. I think that's what I like about the question. Yeah.
Okay, then I'll take the hit for everybody, because I think I'm the only one that's marginally close. I think I'm closest to Michael Scott.
Wow.
Wow, that surprises me.
Yeah.
Why do you say?
Because I think I ramp up in the way that he does, like nobody else on staff does, about a specific thing. Like Pam in an episode explains it best, where like Michael gets really, no, that's Jim. Oh, am I Jim?
That's like that's the holy grail of The Office, if
it
you're
is.
Jim.
But Pam says Jim will like get really excited about a specific thing, and he really goes all in on it. But now it's kind of sounding like, are we all one character? Are we all Jim? That's not possible, right?
Yeah, maybe
that's
not
why
possible.
Our staff works so well.
When you were describing Jim. Michael, I just saw him like coming through the door of the office and doing the somersault on the couch. And
yeah,
that does sound like, okay, I'll be Michael. I'll take Michael. You guys can figure out yourselves.
Pam 2.0, you know. You're definitely not as awkward as Michael, but I will say
I'm
like
capable, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is this look that Chase gives you when you walk into where he's working back there, and he has his headphones on and he's editing, and it's like, this is the most awkward moment of my entire life, because I don't know if I should talk to him or not.
Well, here's what I would say will tip you over on the Michael side, is the way that Michael looks at the camera, just that whole thing that they did.
Like the smirk and stuff?
Yeah, it's very different than how Jim looks at the camera. Like, Jim looks at the camera like, is everybody else seeing this?
Yeah.
And Michael looks at it with this really hokey like, I get it. Do you get it? Yeah, it's just a totally different look.
That's
so,
fair.
Yeah, I'd say you're Michael. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I'll take it.
Maybe none of us should be Jim. Everybody wants
the
to
thing
be Jim.
It seems unfair. I think Grote is Jim, personally. I think he's the if we're going full staff, I think Jim would be reserved for Grote, just
okay.
based on the closest in personality.
I can kind of see that.
Lackadaisical, nothing really bothers me thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he does say smart things on occasion. You're like, whoa. This guy's really
that was
attention.
Insightful.
Yeah, that's right.
You should talk more.
So who does that leave?
Somebody's got to be Andy, and I think it is Austin.
I knew you were going to say that.
Not anger management, Andy.
You were going to say that. On what base? Okay, give me some basis for this.
Just because he's your least favorite?
Yeah.
Is he your least favorite?
He hates Andy.
Oh,
I don't like Andy.
That was a totally offensive thing Chase just did.
Yeah,
so very Michael of you.
Just so you had the full picture, I refused to watch The Office for the longest time, and then I tried to watch it and got through an episode and said, this is the stupidest thing ever. And so Chase stayed on me about watching it, and because I'm a good friend, I actually broke down and watched it. And so I got, I don't know, however far in, I was like, I hate Andy. And he said, yes, you get The Office then. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Mm.
And so now he's pointed this out.
But when you fully get The Office, this is when you realize Michael Scott's the best thing on the show, which is now why I'm okay with taking that mantle for everybody. Because Vertical doesn't operate it the way it needs to without my personality.
Yeah, so who does that leave for me? Toby?
You're not Toby. You could be Stanley.
I really want you to be Stanley.
You're the most capable of being, of the three of us, Grouchy Stanley.
That's very true. I would
gladly accept Grouchy Stanley.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's like, man, he will just bury somebody with one statement and then go back to his computer. I like it. I'll take it. So I'm Stanley, you're Andy, which is amazing, and you're Michael.
Yeah.
Question answered.
Recommends.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
Wait, I need to practice that. Go do it again.
1, 2, 3, 4. Recommends.
No, sorry.
Yeah, I'm not taking part in that.
I don't know. Maybe it'll stick. So this is the portion of the show where we say, thanks, Janice.
Thanks, Janice.
Hey, and at the end of the day, thank you, Janice.
Oh, thank you, Janice. So,
but more importantly, thank you, Janice.
We need confirmation that Janice has actually heard our thank yous at some point in time.
I will make sure of that this week.
Okay, good.
So the reason we say thank you, Janice, is because she gave us this system. We get an opportunity to say things in form of recommends, not things for ourselves personally, but the people listening. Want, read, wear, need.
That's the system. Order.
Yep, that's the system. Based on Christmas, we don't have time for that story. So how are we going to do this? We're going to go in the rounds. We're going to roll through the list.
I'll go first this time.
Great.
So my recommend, I haven't done it yet. I couldn't have. But any downtime that I have and I'm just kind of holding Liv as my daughter, if I'm rocking Liv to sleep or something like that and Rachel's doing her thing somewhere else, I find myself going back to the black hole that is YouTube. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a want, by the way. And I go back to just crushing an unhealthy amount of SNL clips. Because SNL has started uploading everything to their YouTube channel, and you can bypass. You don't have to watch a whole episode of SNL and deal with the, as Tom Hanks calls them, the stinkers and stuff like that, and make it to the good stuff. You can just go through and find the ones that have good dislike to like ratios.
Yeah.
That's my filter. And I actually have ratios that I consider good. If it's 20 or less on an SNL video, 20 to 1. It's not a good one. Anything above 20 to 1, you can stick through it and actually pull through some good laughs.
I like that system because there is the doldrums of SNL where you're just oh.
Yeah, and then you just killed 5 minutes watching something without a good punchline.
But the classic, there are some classics on there that you're just, they come back up and you're like, oh man.
I forgot about this.
This is
and
why
I'm
I
willing
love
to
it.
Rewatch it again.
Yeah.
My favorite is Get Off the Shed. Is that on there?
I don't know. I actually haven't looked for that one.
It has to be.
It's been buried for so long. I just haven't been able to find it. But, man, do I love that.
You have this weird relationship with SNL where, they'll bring back hosts that from, back in the day, and you're like, I'm watching Saturday because I have to see how Eddie Murphy does this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Certain people are, and this is SNL, certain hosts just nail it, and they bring them back again and again and again.
Yeah.
It's very, very good.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't like the show overall. I've never been a huge fan of the show, but some of the skits.
Yeah, it's very niche. But, for all their political agenda agendas and stuff like that that they have, which what you can say objectively that they do have one. They do have some really funny stuff come out of the show. So,
yep.
Anyway. And everybody has a political agenda now. So
that's true. Oh,
except for us.
I don't.
Except for us. Yeah.
That's not true. Anyway, so that's my want. My need, what you need, if you haven't already during this pandemic, you need to go back to your roots and have a good PB&J. You owe it to yourself to relive that flashback to middle school or high school whenever you had them a lot. Elementary, if you're blessed enough to have your lunch taken to school every day.
My son has one of these every day.
What is the jam of choice?
Always grape.
Grape?
People that like strawberry jam or jelly, I don't understand.
Dude, I've been on a blackberry kick.
Blackberry, if I don't have grape, the only alternative that I entertain is blackberry.
Really? I'll go strawberry. I mean, grape is like, you know, grape is, that is the hero
that
of the
PB&J.
That is jelly.
Yeah.
That
it's
is
kind
the
of the
jelly.
Gold standard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever have someone mix that stuff together and put it on the sandwich?
Weirdest thing.
Yeah, no.
I've
weird.
Never
yeah.
seen that until I moved to Mississippi.
It's
and
weird.
It's a Mississippi thing.
Yeah, that's no, part of the joy of the sandwich.
Jif sells, or Smucker's sells the mixed in
yeah,
the...
Yeah, but that's only Mississippi Walmarts.
I can't believe you. There's no way.
Yeah, I think it's a really bizarre subculture.
Yeah.
Because the part of the joy of the sandwich is like bread, peanut butter, jelly. Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it works. So to mix all that up together just feels like space food.
Chase is killing it with recommends today.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah. I'm not going to have all four, I don't think. So it's underrated. But I discovered them a few months ago. So, okay, I was searching for shoes, a good pair of white shoes to buy, and I refused to spend $200 on a pair of white Ultra Boost. And I went on the trail of Puma, who is actually the Nazi alternative to Adidas. A lot of backstory.
He literally
there.
Means that, like, yeah, they're owned by Nazis, yes. They're the IKEA
they were,
shoes.
They were founded by Nazis. I will not.
What?
We don't have time both for this. Both of them were. Anyway, Puma is a great alternative to Adidas. Getting real specific on it here, a good wear recommend is Puma's athletic socks. They're available a lot of the time at, like, Marshall's, TJ Maxx, stuff like that. They are some of the best socks I've ever worn in my life. They're very breathable. They're super soft. And I like my socks a little thicker just because it feels better in my shoe. Not super thick. Not like wool. They're not wool.
I'm a sock guy. You're speaking my language here. I would have never thought Puma, though.
But they're soft and thick.
They feel like outlet mall socks, to be honest. Puma
no,
does.
No. Puma is great. Like,
they're underrated.
We were
man.
Talking about this the other day. Puma signed 7 out of the top 10 NBA draft picks this year.
Whoa.
They're killing it.
Yeah, they're about to make a lot of money. Which
especially when
them.
The NBA season comes back.
Yeah, right.
Oh, in
2022. Puma socks, give them a shot whenever you're allowed to go back to TJ Maxx and Marshall's, which you should be going to anyway, because it is...
Well, not right now.
Not yet. Sorry.
Don't go now.
Excuse me.
Sit back down. Sit down. Don't go now.
If you're getting out of your home, you better be hitting Marshall's. That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying. And just to stick with consistency, I don't ever read.
All right. You next, Austin. Give Chase something to read.
You're the worst. Recommends for the week. I'm going to start with my want.
Hey, you're off your mic. I'll call you out.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Am I there now?
There you go.
I'm going to start with my want, just because Chase refuses to do it. I recommend that you also want some entertainment. You need to download the new Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Add me. I'll play with you because we all need entertainment. We all need some good news right now. I think you recommended Fallon last week. You talked about Fallon last week, right, Ben?
It is really good.
If y'all haven't seen John Krasinski's Keeping with the Office right
he
now.
He talked about news. It on Easter. Fallon.
Okay.
Yeah.
John Krasinski's Some Good News.
Oh, good. So good.
It is.
Oh,
good.
My gosh. It literally, I'm not even kidding. My wife and I were drinking coffee yesterday morning, and I look over at Caitlin, and she is crying into her coffee watching this old man sing to his wife in the hospital. It's the most uplifting thing in the world. It's
How's
so good.
The weather, Bob?
Yeah.
It's looking pretty good.
it's really good. So, Some Good News. Check it out on YouTube. I don't have a wear. I haven't. Given a good wear.
You weren't
yet.
Aware of any wares?
I'm not aware of a wear right now.
Can you add that, please?
With a read, just to give Chase something to read. I don't think he's read anything that I've given yet. Okay. I keep coming back to this book in conversation. I read it probably about a month ago, right before we were on lockdown. But Malcolm Gladwell's Talking with Strangers is probably...
I will read that.
It is probably the best book that I've read this year.
That guy's podcast is incredible.
Okay. As far as well-rounded intelligence, that dude might be the smartest guy, common sense.
Well, I'll tell you,
planet.
Even if you are not a reader, if you read slowly, you just don't like it, while you're doing other things, if you're going to download an audiobook by anybody...
He reads his own.
Gladwell is by far the best. And the best thing about Talking with Strangers is he brings in people, he like interviews them and has them do the sound bites for the parts of the book that he's quoting them. Best book that I've read all year. It's really, really good. So Talking with Strangers, if you have the time.
His voice is so soothing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He looks like a psychopath.
He does look like somebody that he's on Criminal Minds.
He looks less and less like a psychopath the more you quote unquote get to know him.
Well, and also I think his publicist has probably straightened him out a little bit on that kind of thing.
They're
like,
definitely quirky.
You gotta look better.
Yeah. Man, you're informing lots of people. You look like a crazy person.
Yeah, no one's gonna listen to you. Yeah.
Maybe Alex Honnold should hire that guy.
Oh yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Okay, is it my turn?
Yes.
Good. Because we have like 0 minutes left.
That's how we like it.
Episode. Okay. Want. I'm going to go with the want first because I think this will change everyone's life. If you don't have an Apple Pencil, you need to get one.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean,
have a compatible iPad.
Yeah. If you have a compatible
Chris
iPad.
Chris Wilson's about to do it. Our drummer.
We're stuck with our devices. We're consuming all this stuff. It just feels great to make that transition to create and interact with your screen in a different way. Just trust me on that. Buy one. Figure out how you're going to use it best. My son right now is doing recolor on comics, which is amazing.
Mm.
He's like downloading comics and then taking the scene and recoloring
That's
it, which
cool
I'm
idea.
Super,
you
super.
You could buy two, use them as chopsticks.
Yeah, super impressed by it. Very expensive chopsticks, but hey, if that's your speed. The need, I'm going to suggest with the government stimulus coming out that you need a savings account. I'm just going to leave that there.
That's true.
Like
after
you buy your Apple Pencil, put the rest back, okay? Savings account.
So with the $200 you have left over.
That's right, after the stimulus.
It's not $1,000.
Savings accounts are very underrated, but with COVID, I think we all need to be more prepared for financial crisis. With the wear, I need to go back to something I said before that you needed to wear a heart rate monitor. With that heart rate monitor, you're actually going to need a watch, but here's what I figured out this past week. I had 2 days where I did not put my watch on. Man, was not very productive that day because I just lost track of time. That's a bad thing for me. So I need something on my arm, and I think most people do that reminds them, hey, you woke up late, and it is 4 p.m., even though it feels like 11 a.m. So
So do you wear Apple Watch?
No, I do not wear Apple Watch.
So are you sponsored by Apple?
No. Okay. That'd be amazing. But no, I'm not. We buy a lot of their products here at church. The Apple Watch just feels like too much. I wear a Garmin that is exercise-based, but I still get notifications, but I've learned to turn those off because they're incredibly distracting. And for a read, this is going to be, I feel like I'm this guy, but this is worth consuming. There's a guy named James Emery White, okay? One of the smartest guys I've ever met, Greg Miller, told me about him. James Emery White has a blog called Church and Culture, and he's one of those voices. He's a Christian dude. But he's also very smart, which is kind of a unique combination in Christian leaders.
Sparse.
Yeah. And he's a pastor as well. But he understands who he's writing for. The blog posts are pretty short. But there's a lot of information that makes you think after you read it. I love those kinds of reads.
Cool.
Like it took about 3 minutes to read this, but I could kind of think about it all day. Those are the things I like. So if you just Google church and culture, it'll be the first thing that pops up. So that's my read.
Goodbye.